Okay, we'll pray. Our Father and God, we sang, and here we are. So help us. Just thanks. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Now, in our study of late, as we're looking, understanding the wonderful, wonderful oneness of the nation of Israel, not when they, in chapter 10, 11, etc. And so we did that a little bit. And then we went to Ephesians chapter 6 to see the wonderment of that. What they had, we have in a whole nother dimension. And now we've gone back to Joshua to understand why they had that oneness of heart. No, they didn't keep it, but they had it for a moment, and God blessed it. So we want to understand it. Therefore, if you go in your Bible to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, and we shared together 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, picking up, if I may, and we shared together last time, reminding us that we, God saves us in a most wonderful way. And like we shared this morning, Israel just didn't say, thank you, God, for your saving grace. Christ would die on the cross to save them. They didn't do that. They wanted the law to do everything. They would be qualified by their doing, so that God would have to honor them because they were good guys. They didn't realize they couldn't perform ever. And you remember now, for 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years, they were under the law, but hardly did they ever come near it. What was keeping them for 40 years? God was keeping them. He was the shepherd of the sheep, and he kept them super duper. Shoes didn't wear out, clothes didn't wear out, never got sick, never had anything. God did that. They didn't learn a lesson from that. So when they cross the Jordan, their God has to help them again to be able to put together the pieces that they should have been learning now. So therefore, here we are down this end of the cross, this side of it. So we share together in chapter 4 in verse 7. We have this treasure when we come to know the Lord as our Savior in earthen vessels. In verse 6, I should say. Well, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined where? In our hearts. What for? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God introduced himself to the human heart and saves it by his death, burial, and resurrection. So, and this wonderful relationship that we have to God, we have this treasure in earthen vessels of dust and clay. That purpose, the excellency of the power, may be of God and not of us. That the whole relationship will amplify and exemplify God's awesome person, and thus vessels of dust, and the excellency we share together, that which is beyond. There is no measurement. How do we measure how much? How much big? There's no measurement. There is no measurement. But the excellency of the power, dynamite, dynamic, ability, God's awesome ability to be who he is beyond measure. Where is that power beyond measure? Where is that ability beyond measure in the human heart when they receive Christ as their Savior? That's where it is, in an awesome, awesome, wonderful way. Now, that's too awesome for us to understand, because we said we couldn't understand it. We can understand nuclear power, fusion power. We understand a little bit about power, bombs blowing up or something, splitting the atom and all of that. We can understand a little bit of power. Thunderstorm, we understand power. We really don't understand power. When it goes power beyond anything we understand, to sustain the universe with its trillions of galaxies, to sustain it and keep it in order, God does that. Power. Awesome power. Now you got that part. Now the second thing we shared together is Romans chapter 8. And we are vessels of dust to house such power. So here we are looking in Romans in chapter 8, keeping in mind as we share that together. And what are we talking about this time? Always you'll pick up the same movement if you ever catch it. The law points to the love of God. The law says you can't do it. You need to have look to God who loves you. The love of God says when you love God, you'll understand the law because he fulfills the law in your heart. He is your righteousness. He fulfills all of the law. So everything you read in God's word, in God's holy heaven, is fulfilled already in you, in Christ, now. So when I read, anyway, I don't want to get tied up, sidetracked. Now, so in the process, Romans chapter 8, and you remember the love of God, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No, nothing. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Like dust, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But what's big about dust? Nothing. What's big about sheep getting killed? Nothing. Nothing. That's the whole point. The glory, the power belongs to God. Always to God. So we can't say, well, I'm going to do this for you, God, because we can't do it for you, God. We just can't do it. It's out of our reach, beyond us. So therefore, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, more than, and there's the little word again, beyond measure. You cannot measure. You cannot measure the power of God. And here in verse 37, you cannot measure, we're more than conquerors. We're more than the word conquer, to be victorious, to be overcomers, to be winners. We're more than that. We aren't just winners. We're more than winners. Whatever that is, God, you know what it is. It's you. That's right. That's why we are more than winners. That's why we have the power. That's why we have the victory. Because of God's wonderful person. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and you'll keep it back over if you can, to the book of Joshua. Before you go to Joshua, Deuteronomy and chapter 9. Deuteronomy and chapter 9. And in Deuteronomy in chapter 9, now, remember, let me tie that together to what we just did. What did we do? We shared last time, as we looked at Joshua chapter 1, etc., and chapter 5, reminding us, we said, shared together, that 38 years ago, when the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea, they had built the tabernacle, they had Mount Sinai, they finished the tabernacle, and then they were to go in and conquer the land. And we shared in Numbers 13, etc. And the 12 spies went out, and God and his, and they came back with their report. Boy, there's walled cities and giants and everything there. There's no way we could beat them. But Joshua Caleb, we are well able, verse 30, we're well able to do exactly what God said because of God. Chapter 14, the people got all upset and wanted to go back to Egypt, you remember. And in chapter 14, Joshua and Caleb ripped their clothes off because they were so disturbed that people were rejecting God, rejecting what they, Caleb and Joshua said, we have to do it. God said to do it. But people didn't care. They didn't care about that. So here they are. And in chapter 14, and they said, Joshua and Caleb, we are well able to go and beat the enemy. And if God, chapter 14, and in verse 8, if God delight in us, we're going to go do it. If God wants that for us, let's do it. Let's do it. And then he added, remember, they will be bread for us. They aren't going to do anything. We're going to consume them like bread on the table. They are not going to consume us. And they didn't. We will consume them. And they didn't believe. And 38 years went by. Now, keeping in mind, they were well able because of God. Our problems, our needs, our wants, our worries. But then there's God. And all of a sudden, everything we want to write out and come think about and worry about, obstacles and opponents and everything, and we want to think about them and wonder about them, how are we going to work this out in our life? And then you think of God. And God, there's nothing. Hang on, let's just keep doing it. So, chapter 9, book of Deuteronomy, if I may. And chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 1. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to possess the nations greater and mightier than thyself. Cities great and fenced up to heaven, big walls they had around them. A people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard, say, who can stand before the children of Anak? They're giants. And understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them. He shall bring them down before thy face. So shall thou drive them out to destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said. And that's what they did. That's what they did. When they believed in God, that's what they did. So, verse 4, speak not thou, this is before they crossed the Jordan. Verse 4, speak not thou in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, don't be saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. Don't be saying, I'm doing it because you guys are the good guys. You're not good guys. You're not right. You're not right. In fact, let me finish it. Verse 4, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. In other words, the Philistines, the Jebusites, and the Hivites, they're all terrible. They do all awful stuff. They've been doing it for 400 years, 430 years. I'm done with it. And the land vomits them out, as you know from Leviticus. So therefore, in understanding in verse 4, after thy heart the Lord had cast them out from before thee. And now, verse 5, not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart. It's nothing about you. Back to what you read, remember, we're vessels of dust, 2 Corinthians. That's what you are, a vessel of dust. But the excellency of the power is God's. You're just sheep going to the slaughter. But God makes you more than conquerors. God does that now. So therefore, don't say that you do it and we're able to do it. No, you can't say that. You don't want to say that. So, in verse 5, nor for thy righteousness, nor for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, verse 5, the Lord God doth drive them out from before thee, that he may perform his word, which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Think of what you did this morning before you come to Moses and the law. They didn't, they just believed God. And God did what he did. That's all they did. And verse 6, understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it, for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. I'm not doing it because you're good guys. They're the bad guys. The bad guys are worse than you are. But it's time to change things. And therefore, verse 7, remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God into wrath in the wilderness. From the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until you came unto this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. That's what you've been doing all these years. That's what you've done. You should have been listening to me. And over 600,000 men have died in the wilderness that were soldiers because they didn't believe. They didn't believe. So now, having said that little bit, chapter 11. And in chapter 11, if I may, in verse 22. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them. And then it lists them. It doesn't list judges and ordinances, they're all there, but he doesn't point. What's his point? Love, love, love. I want you to know God so loved the world. He wants you to know God has a wonderful plan for you to enjoy his awesome person and let him be his awesome person in your life. Let him be who he is in your life. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. Now, so therefore, verse chapter 11 and verse 22, for if you should diligently love, if you should diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and cleave unto him, if you just do that, verse 23, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess the greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Verse 24, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness of Lebanon unto the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea, the Mediterranean, you shall be your coast be, so no man be able to stand before you, etc., etc. So God, you're going to do your most wonderful thing in your most wonderful way, and you're going to do it to honor yourself in all things. Now, having said that, and you're going to do that in a wonderful way. Now, pick up that thought, verse 24, and go over to chapter 1 of Joshua. And Joshua chapter 1, as you would remember, and in Joshua chapter 1, picking up in thought, if I may, Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And then you have the same area from the Red Sea, from the Mediterranean Sea, over to the Euphrates River. Then you go to verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So therefore, as Moses could stand against anyone, anywhere, anyhow, so can Joshua. And God kept Moses and took Moses. God kept Joshua and took Joshua. So when you come now, he's going to try to drive home the point, how you're going to do it. You're going to have to understand simple things. Verse 5, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now you got to be strong. Okay. You got to be able. You're a vessel, using our language in New Testament. We're vessels of dust. We're sheep for the slaughter. But we're more than able. We're more than able. Because the ability isn't in me or you. The ability is in God, in us. That's where the power is, to work things out. Now he's going to work it out. His ways and his thoughts are higher than the heavens. So God's going to do what he does. And he has 1,000,000,000,000 pieces that he's putting together in your life right now. You have no idea of it. Your life is affecting how many people at work, school, home, friends, neighbors, and we have no idea. God's getting all of it. God's doing it. So I've got to look to God. That's right. Just rest in God. Abide like the branch. Abide in the vine. The tree, a branch abides in the tree. The branch has nothing. The branch is nothing. Dust. But the branch is full of life. And as long as the branch abides, it can keep on, think of 1 John we're doing. You can keep on asking and keep on receiving. You ask and you're going to receive. That isn't a maybe. Keep on asking, you're going to receive. There's no way to abide. The life of the tree abides in the branch, always. The branch needs to relate to the life inside of it and seeks to thank God for it and exercise it in a wonderful way. Asking as we did all those things. Now, having said that, be strong and of good courage. And you're going to see it in verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. And you're going to see it again in verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, don't be afraid. So, driving home the point, you've got to be strong and of good courage. That's what you have to do. And you have to do it. Now, how can we possibly do it? And the word, to be strong, to bind firmly together, to twist around, to hang fast to something, to be strong, tight. Now, I brought up this, the branch, it's the rope. When you see these, abide. When you come down the aisle, abide. These are locked in. We cement them in. You don't know they're cemented, but when you violate them, it's like those police signs out there. You don't even know they're tagging your car when you drive 20 miles an hour, and you're doing it. We tag you when you lift these. You have a long record of lifting them, and you should have never lifted them. Now, but the word strong, to take and twist, tie tightly. Now, the rope is just the rope, and that's all I could find for the moment. If this rope was long enough, and we're going to hold the big ship sitting in the dock, hold it steady, and here's the big chain, down. Now, the rope can't hold it, but if the rope is wrapped around the chain, that's the word, strong. Wrap yourself around God. Tie yourself in a knot. Tie yourself up in a knot. Tie it around you. Why? Because the rope can't. We're not able, God. No, you're not. But the chain is quite able. And you have the rope around the chain. The rope is going to hold. The rope says, see what I'm doing. But it isn't the doing it, it's the chain, you see. It's the chain doing it. Wow. Yeah, that's what I want. Be strong in the Lord. You got to do it. Wrap yourself around God. And when you do, and the things of life press in, and the pressure in the chain pulls, and you're tying it tight around yourself around God, the more you come at me, the rope just presses in to the chain. And the more you push me and get after me, and I'm trusting you, God, and wrapping myself, be strong, and I wrap myself around God, and I'm strong, and the more you give me, all you do is push me into the chain. And I know all you do is make me stronger. That's all you do. The problems, the pressures, everything that comes in your little old life only presses you into God because you're trusting Him. You're keeping yourself strong, strong. If you don't keep yourself strong, then you're going to be like this branch, disconnected. And the branch has no life, literally. Now, so therefore, be strong in God, in His marvelous grace. Now, in the light of that, exercise it just a little bit. So you'll see it. over again, in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, if I can. In 2 Chronicles and 16. And you'll note, please, illustration. Here's Asa. Asa is the king of Judah, and he's being attacked, and he's looking for Syria, the king of Assyria, to protect him, to help him. And so God gets after King Asa. And therefore, in verse 8, for time's sake, chapter 16, verse 8. Here's Asa, God's trying to tell him, Asa's going to trust the Syrians to protect them. Protect them from what? Over to chapter 14. Go to chapter 14 for a moment. He's going to protect them from the... Now, but prior... hang on to that. Stay at 16 for a moment. And chapter 16. And verse 8. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubians a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, He delivered them into thy hand. Now go over to chapter 14, if I can, and in verse 9. Chapter 14, verse 9. And there came out against Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000. That's a million men. A million men. A million. That's a lot of people to fight. A lot of people. A million men, 300 chariots came unto Maresha. That's a lot. Now God did the victory for him. Asa looked to God, and God took care of the whole million of them. He gave them the victory. How easy was that, Asa? That was pretty easy, wasn't it? Now, he's in trouble again, and he looks to the Assyrians to help them and not God. Therefore, verse 9, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect, complete, wholehearted toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Wherefore, from thenceforth, thou shalt have wars. And Asa didn't do any good after that. He had a tough life after that. All he had to do is be consistent. You believed me yesterday, said God. Believe me today. And you didn't do it. I'm looking everywhere on planet Earth. That's wonderful. All over the world, right now. You're looking, God, what? To show yourself strong. You're able to go and twist yourself around people that would believe, and you'd make them strong. You want to show yourself strong to all anyone. Asa didn't want to do that. All he had to do was thank God. If he thank God, I got it again. Here comes the enemy. Here comes the enemy. You didn't have to do that, Asa. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here, again, one of your... We'll be done over it. Yeah. Ephesians. No, forget Ephesians for a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 30. This is not just another sample to show you it in action. 1 Samuel and chapter 30. And you'll remember it. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, picking up, if I may, David doesn't do very good. He gets him tied, ties himself into the Amalekites, etc., etc. He should have never done that. Anyway, fortunately, the bad guys said, "You guys, good guys," he told David, "get out of here. You don't belong with us. We're going to fight. You don't have to join us. You don't belong in this kind of war. Go back to your God." So David went back to the people that all his army left with him, and he went back to the people where they left their families and everything. Therefore, and verse 3, they came back to the city. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. It was such a terrible time. Everything was been taken, and there's nothing left. Verse 5. No, down to verse 6 better. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed for reason. The people spake of stoning him, and the men with him were going to stone him. He led them wrong way. He led David did it wrong, and the men knew, but David did it wrong. And they were greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Now, David, what are you going to do in such a terrible, terrible place? You did something wrong. It's cost you everything, material things, the families, the men. You did it. It's all bad. What are you going to do when it's such a terrible mess? David said, I'm going to go and encourage myself. I'm going to be strong. The word encouraged. I'm going to be strong. Be strong. Okay? And, but David encouraged himself, verse 6, himself in the Lord, his God. Now, what did he do? What do we know about the word strong? He took all the problems. Here's all the men against him, and he brought them to God. He brought them into God's wonderful person. He brought all the family that's there. Are they going to be alive, dead? Are we ever going to be able to get our families back and get everything back? Are we? And David brought that to God. He brought every piece of the whole mess to God and tied it around God. Now, God, you're going to have to take care of this mess. However you wish and however you choose, you'll have to take care of it. And he did. He did. So what do? We take all the problems we have and every part of the problem in every way, and we bring it to God and make sure it's all tied up in God's wonderful person. So you got to give it to God. I gave it to God. I gave that problem to God. I have the problem, but I gave it to God. Remember Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't play tennis with God. You give him the problem and then take it away. You're going to trust him and then you don't trust him. Don't do that. Don't do that. You want to give it to God. Leave it with God. Thank you, God. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Thank you, God. Thank you. That's what he did. And God blessed him. God blessed him. Now, we have to stop because our time's gone. But, in stopping, I got to tie it together a little better. So therefore, over to the New Testament. Over to the New Testament. And in Ephesians. In Ephesians, if I can, all the different places to go. Ephesians. Now, what do we know? Remember what Caleb and Joshua said? If the Lord delight in us, God will give us the victory. We want what God, if he delight in us. Here we are as believers on planet Earth at this point in history. Now, what do we know? Over in Ephesians, picking up, please, in chapter 1, verse 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places in Christ. In other words, all the resources of God's wonderful person in God's holy heaven are yours. Now what's missing? There's nothing missing. There's nothing missing. Everything in God, in heaven, is yours right now. Is mine right now. Not next week, now. Not from Washington or some other place. From God. God said, I am going to be power. I am power. I have the ability beyond measure to be your God. I am going to give you the victory beyond measure. And you're going to be like sheep. But the trouble is, you always keep winning. Sheep keep winning, and vessels of dust keep winning. So therefore, blessed be God. And you've gone what, God? And picking up for time again. Over to verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what? What is the hope of his calling? What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God has a wonderful, wonderful what? If God delight in us, he saved us. We were nothing. We're vessels of dust. And God saved us to glorify his awesome person, to be our God and Savior in a beyond measure understandable, a way we can't understand. That's what he did for us. So God, when Joshua and Caleb said, if God delight in us, well, boy, God, you do delight in us. You saved us. It cost you your son to save us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, God, looking to you as we are vessels in these vessels of dust, you're going to go and do what? Chapter 3. And here's the able, able, able. We're going to be well able. We are well able to overcome the enemy. Chapter 3, here we are, God, vessels of dust. Verse 20, now unto him that is, a little word, what is it? Able, 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 dynamite, dynamo. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God's awesome power, power beyond measure. A vessel of dust, that's right. But God is able. All of heaven's resources are there in the most wonderful way. Now, God, what are you going to do? We're able, yes. God is able in us. Now unto him that is able, God's able. So therefore, chapter 6. And in chapter 6, picking up, if I may, picking up chapter 6, a going in the light of that. Chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, you remember doing all these things, that you may be, what's that little word? Able. That you're able. To what? To stand against the wiles, the deceit, the trickery of the devil. You're able to do it. God in you is able, and you was able. You was able. Because God's able. That's why you're able. That's why we read in Deuteronomy 9. Don't think it's you. It's God in you. And he makes you able. Makes you able. Oh, see it again, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able, able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We did all these things. Able, 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 that's right, because he's able. So therefore be strong, because he's strong. You be strong. Oh, I can't. I know that. You know weakness. I know it. We feel it. We feel it. I hate getting old. Oh, but what can I tell you? My body doesn't understand. I try to tell my body, do you understand? You'll be able, should be able. And the body says, we used to do that. We don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore. But we're going to do it anyway. That's right. That's why we're here. Strong anyway. In utter weakness. In weakness, boy, are we weak. But God, you aren't weak. And you're strong. So you do what you want, when you want, how you want, as you wish. You do it, God. Thank you very much. Now, having said that, closing. Over if I can, quickly. Hope you got a little bit. We did a little bit to try and help. Be strong. Be strong. Habakkuk. Over, if I can, the book of Habakkuk. Picking up, please. Chapter 3. Habakkuk, chapter 3. I'm picking up. And remember Habakkuk, we don't have time to really do it, but get the thought of it. Habakkuk, what are you saying? And Habakkuk lives in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, but Nebuchadnezzar's going to level the city. And Habakkuk looks and says, how can such a terrible thing happen by such a terrible nation? How can you let all of this happen? Chapter 1, and in verse 3. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. God, I don't understand how you're letting me see this awful stuff. That's going to happen. The end of chapter 3. And Habakkuk has to learn. He has to go through it. Like we think of Providence we did this morning, Sunday school. Verse 16. And when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones. I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops, Nebuchadnezzar. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, Habakkuk says, listen, I can't, God said this has to happen. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flocks shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. It's terrible, 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 terrible. But you got it. Be strong, Habakkuk. Verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. It's all a mess. But boy, God, you're going to have to do with everything. And thus, what are you going to do for me? Verse 19. And the Lord God is my strength. My strength, be strong. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk on mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So I put it to music. God is going to make my, I'm a winner. You're a vessel of dust, but you hold the power that has no measurement. You're a sheep for the slaughter. But you're more than a conqueror. You're beyond being a victor. You're more than a victor. You're a winner of winners. You're at the top of the pile. How so? Because I am, said God. I'm the top, and you're mine. You're mine to let me be God in your little old heart all next week. Our Father and God, we thank you for thy word, thy grace, and God, as we even thought to think about a little bit, you told them, you commanded them to be strong and of good courage. That's what you told them, and you keep telling it to thy people, page after page, all through history. Be strong and of good courage because of you. You're able, and thus we are able in your ableness. So help us in every way. And our God, watch over us, protect us, not to protect us just for comfort, protect us that your will might be outworked in your way, in your time. Protect us, God, for your wonderful will to be done. In Christ's name, amen.